The gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 6 at verse 25 through 34. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we'll be focusing together on verses 6 through 7. And dear congregation of Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord, and any friends here who are our neighbors that have come to worship with us, maybe you felt what I have felt before. Your palms are getting sweaty, and there's panic running up your spine. Maybe some hot flashes on your back, and you feel like there's a boa constrictor wrapping around your neck and kind of suffocating you. You can't find your breath, and you're anxious, and so am I. We're freaking out, and why is that? And what does anxiety say to you and to me? How can we even begin, and I mean begin, to overcome anxiety in our lives? The Apostle Paul shows us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as Paul here, the big idea, I believe the takeaway for us is here, the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, begins to overcome anxiety while he's in prison. And maybe anxiety is an emotional prison for you and for me. How do we begin and start to climb out of that that prison? Paul shows us how, and we first of all want to take a look together at the panic he's talking about in verse 6, and then secondly, prayer is how we begin to escape in order to experience God's peace in Christ Jesus our Lord. So first of all, we take a look together at panic. Panic, what is it? What is anxiety? And as we see these themes throughout Psalm 55 and into the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 6, anxiety, congregation, pulls us apart. And you feel that tension, right, as you live in the hope that you know you have in Christ Jesus and belonging to him, and the future that's trying to pull you forward in order to control the events that are to take place. And I believe that's the tension we experience in anxiety. Anxiety, you may be anxious about finances, you may be worried about taking examinations or tests this week as a student. You may be feeling completely overwhelmed and paralyzed by the unsettling feeling of what's going to happen to your kids, where are your kids going, and maybe that your kid is, or my child is, allergic to the grace of God. They're running away from Jesus Christ. They are running away as a prodigal from the house of the Lord, or who your kids, your children, grandchildren are hanging out with. Maybe you're afraid of of losing your job. All kinds of anxieties, congregation, we face. And anxiety, congregation, isn't so much so, planning for the future. We should plan for the future. It doesn't necessarily mean we can't think about the future, but we are to do so prayerfully, realizing, as Paul says here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord, and God promises you and me his peace. Anxiety, dear friends, what is it saying to you? Are you listening? I've never thought of it this way before, but as I study this a little bit, and commentators point this out, anxiety says, I need. Anxiety is greedy. And gratitude, my dear friend, is the cure for greedy anxiety in your life and mine. Anxiety is saying, I need something more than Jesus really to satisfy me. I need something more than the Father and his promises sealed in the Holy Spirit to make me certain and secure. I know God has said it, but I need something more here than what God has said. And I'm trying then to control what ultimately is only in God's hands. Anxiety. And the Apostle Paul really says, do not be anxious. And it's a really good translation here in the ESV. He front loads that idea. Anxiety comes first about anything. And therefore, whatever you're worried about, pray about. That's where the Apostle Paul wants to take us in beginning to overcome and be released from the emotional prison of anxiety. Anxiety is happens in your life when your imagination and mine is running away. And whether it's being just kind of reliving nightmares that we've experienced, and there's this movie loop going on in your mind and heart, and your thoughts and your feelings. Paul is getting there in a moment. In your thoughts and feelings, there's this worry movie going on starring you, and God seems to be absent there, right? And it grabs your emotions, and it holds tight to your imaginations. And you start to have this conversation, and I have my conversation with myself, and I can no longer hear God speak. These are the manifestations of anxiety in our lives. And young people, maybe you're worried and uptight and nervous and jittery because, like a lot of your peers, you're hooked on the phone and Instagram, and you're trying to live up to these impossible expectations, right, of social media. They have that phone, I need it, I need to wear those clothes because they are, I wish, and I'm all worried and uptight and falling apart because I don't have the romance he does or she does. We're in a panic attack. And thanks be to God, congregation, because I know perhaps what you are thinking. I've thought it myself, or perhaps said it myself, because someone has said, stop being worried. What are you worried about? Why are you being so OCD? Pray. Well, I've already done that. I've tried that. It doesn't seem to be working for me. So Paul leads us out of these panic attacks, and as one author says, worry is carrying a burden God has never intended you or me to bear, and that's the lesson there in Psalm 55. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you, and he wants to be your burden bearer. And we release those burdens to the Lord through prayers of thanksgiving. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand when you are anxious about anything. So in everything you're worried about, and I am too, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. prayer. Praying, dear friends, it unplugs that power source anxiety generates and has in your life and mine. Prayer is just talking to the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, and the redeemer of his people. It's just unloading all of the burdens of our anxieties on him and talking to him about it. As he has spoken to us in his word, the promises, we repeat those promises in prayer. Do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And the Apostle Paul is saying the Lord is going to provide what you stand in need of, and that's the idea behind supplication. He has this infinite storehouse from his infinite heart of love for you and for me to supply what you need and when you need it. So pray, and it will reboot the thoughts of your mind and the feelings in your hearts. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. I remember the chaplain, Paul Berghaus, who was an OPC pastor, and he was serving as a chaplain at West Point several years ago, and he got my wife and I up into the bell tower of the Protestant chapel. And boy, did that give me some perspective on the campus of West Point, to see the big picture. And dear friends, I think that's what prayer is for you and for me. And how's your prayer life going? How is mine? A lot of improvements to be made for all of us, including myself. But God gives us this wonderful gift of prayer, that Jesus is praying for us when we're worried, that the Holy Spirit of Jesus within us prays when we don't know how to or begin to articulate to the Father how we are feeling. And prayers give us this big picture. It tunes us into our Father in Heaven's perspective when we feel all alone, on our own, as if we've taken a wrong turn or have met a dead end in our lives. And our Father in Heaven shows us the perspective that he knows where we are going, and therefore we can be thankful in prayer, knowing that he's going to drive us to this peace, which passes all understanding. Prayer, it's not a magic wand. Paul's in prison. And he's busy learning how to overcome anxiety. There's no master class here. That's worry if maybe that's just one of my stumbling blocks are kind of our besetting sins that trouble us and we keep stumbling over. And congregation, I don't believe we, you know, overcome perfectly anxiety in our lives. I believe worry is a tool in your life and mine to be clay in our Father in Heaven's hands, to mold and make us into the image of our peaceful Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's waves of worry that flood your life and mine, and we are to kind of roll with those waves, to roll us up on the heaven shore at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Prayer is not the magic wand, so to speak. You know, here's some pixie dust, and all of a sudden, the prison doors are wide open. That's not what happened to the Apostle Paul. Let's be realistic. But nevertheless, even though the circumstances haven't changed for the Apostle Paul, and the circumstances of your life may not, you know, immediately, miraculously change, yet thankful prayer is the key to begin discovering, rediscovering the peace of God. What does prayer do? Congregation, prayer adds God to the conversation you're having and I'm having in my heart and mind and you're having as well in terms of God is speaking now. He's spoken and we are really just speaking back his promises that he has pledged to keep. I believe the key here, congregation, is thanksgiving, thankful prayer, letting our requests, our specific detailed prayer requests be made known to the God who is peace. Thanksgiving, congregation, thankful prayer in your life and mine, it will always, God promises, start killing off the worry in your life. God promises that when thankful prayer comes, He's going to give peace. Thanksgiving is peace-giving, and it's the kill shot on your greed, and mine too. So let us ransack the word of the Lord to rediscover thanksgiving and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving helps us think the way God thinks. Thankful prayers to our Lord tune us into the song of heaven that calms and quiets our hearts. Give thanks to the Lord. Say what? Say thank you. And there's eight things to thank God for here as we get a little bit out of our text, but that's verse 8. What do we thank God for? Because He's just, He's pure, He's lovely, and He's commendable, He's excellent, He's certainly worthy of our praise. Here are eight reasons to be thankful that we are to lay out before the Lord prayerfully in order to experience God's supernatural peace. And that's the third lesson here, dear friends. And the peace of God, verse 7, which surpasses all understanding, will. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's at stake when you are in a panic mode? And I am too. When you're stressed out and beside yourself. Pieces. Pieces at stake. And when we pray through our panic mode, dear friends, God promises His peace. I mean, it's the peace of God. It's not just that God sends peace, He sends Himself and His Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to fill us afresh with the peace of heaven. What is peace? It's heaven in our hearts, really. Or God lifting up our hearts to heaven. Because there, God isn't worried. Our God is worry-free as He sovereignly administers His providential care in your life and mine. How peaceful is God? That's how peaceful you can and I can become as we pray through our panic attacks. What is it? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ describes it, doesn't He, for us in the gospel reading. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, look around you. You want to get peace? Look around you. Are you worried? Look at the flowers and the fields, the lilies of the field. God clothes them as beautifully, even more beautifully than King Solomon was clothed. And I wish I would have learned this a long time ago. But dear friends, what do flowers do? Simply open up. Receive. They receive the sunshine of the Creator's care. You don't have to be anything more than God has made you to be. You don't have to be more than a lily. You don't have to be more than anything. That's what gets me uptight sometimes. And you, I imagine, become anxious about. I have to be something more. God says, you don't have to be anything more than my beloved child. Look around you and feel the felt love of Jesus calming your heart and quieting your troubled soul. There the Apostle Paul is in jail, more than likely chained somehow. At least there's a Roman guard there, CEO, in prison with him, behind bars with him. And he says, you know what? That's the peace of God. That's what the peace of God is. God is my guardian, which surpasses all understanding. This peace will guard your hearts and mine in Christ Jesus. God is our guardian who protects us from the enemies of worry and doubts and fears, from the lies of that liar, the devil himself, who wants you to believe the lie from the pit of hell that if you're going through this, God must not love you. God says, when you pray to me in your panic mode, I will give you the peace of heaven to protect you from believing that lie. You're under the protective custody of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will give you the blessed assurance that your sins are forgiven, and he has made them as white as snow through his shed blood on Calvary's cross. My dear friends, freedom from anxiety is found where? Where is it located? It's there right in the text. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in psychology? No, in Christ Jesus. He is the great Prince of Peace who is born and who has come to be the Lord of Peace, to purchase your peace with God and the peace of God by the shedding of his precious blood on Calvary's cross and guaranteeing this peace of God for you by rising from the dead and being ascended into heaven, sending forth the Spirit of peace. These promises are yes and amen for you and for me in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Jesus Christ now reigns at a throne of grace, upon the throne of grace, invites you and me to come. Come when you are anxious and afraid, stressed out and sad, to obtain this mercy and find this grace of peace for you in your time of need. This promise, dear friend, is for you. And it passes all understanding. I felt this peace at least twice in my life. Have you? God wants you to have this peace. This peace that you cannot ultimately almost put into human words, right? It's almost indescribable. Indefinable, incomprehensible, that a God has still held us together when we were falling apart, and he was carrying us on when we could not carry on anymore. This is the peace God graciously gives in Christ for all who believe. This promise is worth pouring every single ounce of your faith and my faith into. So just a few applications for you and for me. Let us tell God, I mean, very specifically, what our particular worries are in prayers. As particular as your burdens and your stress and your worries and mine are, I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, to specify in detail to the Lord in prayer all of your cares. Cast them upon the Lord. You cannot go. I cannot go where you have not prayed and where I have not prayed, dear friends. You want peace. I know you've been made for this peace. How do you get there when you're in a panic mode? It's through believing, prayer, lifting up our hands again for the Father to fill our emptiness with his nearness. Let us be ready, O Lord, for the Lord to give us guidance and direction as he provides us that big picture perspective of his. Maybe you're uptight and anxious about a relationship that has fallen apart, and you are at your wit's end in how to go about being a peacemaker in this conflict. Let's be ready for the Lord to show us, for others to show up in our lives, to speak truth into our lives, and be asking others for wise counsel, not to gossip, but to give us insight in how, as the Apostle Paul talks about, entreating Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord, and for you and me to be the answer to go, right, and speak the truth in love to heal a broken relationship. Maybe that's why you're anxious about the holidays. Be ready for the Lord to use you as the answer of prayer for peace by wanting to speak through you and me as a peacemaker. And dear friends, remember when we're having those worry conversations, watching that movie of anxiety loop around and around in our hearts and our minds, God says, invite me back into the center. That's what worry does. Worry wants to push Jesus, the Prince of Peace, off script, off center. And prayer to God recenters our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to imagine him. Imagine, this is where we come to the table of the Lord. Here in bread and wine, we're to visualize our Lord Jesus Christ dying to give you this peace. Dying to give you and me, helpless, lifeless sinners, his heart of heaven. When Jesus becomes more and more real to us, more and more precious to us, through these means of word and sacrament and prayer, not just off on our own by ourselves, but congregational prayer as well, then God starts calming our troubled souls. And we experience what the hymn writer talks about. It truly is well with my soul. Let us show the handwriting of our Father to him in prayer. And I have to say this, congregation, as I shared it with our congregation, I was at a funeral for a young man, 25 years old. He was a volunteer firefighter in Slate Hill. And he had an accident a couple weeks ago. A car crash, and just like that, he was gone. Eternity is a breath away. And if you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer, and Jesus Christ is your Prince of Peace, if you haven't claimed the promises of Jesus to forgive your sin and give you eternal life, my dear friend, you ought to be worried. You ought to be very anxious. About where you will be spending eternity. You don't have to die a Christless death. You don't have to live in a Christless eternity in hellish agony. Today is a day of salvation. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lamb. Seek and find forgiveness for all of your sins. Someone must die for sin. Will it be you or will it be Jesus? And Jesus is here today. He says, come to me, and I'll put you on the right side of my Father forever. What do you do when you're worried? Don't be worried. Pray, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Worry will not win the day, because Christ has won. Hallelujah. And he's coming again, so that one day we will overcome anxiety and experience uninterrupted peace with God. Amen.